Hello, business owners, entrepreneurs, and executives. Welcome to today's Business Radio, a new hybrid radio show that airs both on air as well as online and on demand. We discuss all the topics relating to your business. Today's Business Radio interviews experienced business advisors to help you build enterprise value, improve profitability, and plan for your eventual exit. Whether you're an entrepreneur just starting out, a seasoned business owner, or a top-level executive, today's Business Radio will help you achieve your personal and professional goals. Today's Business Radio is available around the clock, around the world, online, and on demand at todaysbusinessradio.com. Now, the host of today's Business Radio, Tom Lyons.
Hello, this is Tom Lyons. I'm here with my co-host, Sam Zordich, and our producer, Jorgi Jorgensen. And today's guest is Tom Fee from Vector Wealth Management. And Tom, today we're going to do a follow-up. We just completed a podcast called There Comes a Time. In everyone's life, business owner's life, when they have to sell a business and so forth. And we went through a pretty nice discussion of how to determine when that time might be so you can achieve your goals. The second part in the follow-up today, we're going to talk about risk and investing, how to decide what your tolerance really is. And when you are working with clients and they're going to have a liquidity event, and if it's selling a business and so forth, you really need to sit down and make a risk assessment. Tell me what that is, Tom. What's that about?
Well, it's absolutely the most critical part of this equation. It truly is. I mean, I could sit and just talk from my heart about this, that the most important thing that we can do in our lives is to be absent of fear. And when we talk about risk, we're really talking about the potential for loss. And when you're selling your business and you're monetizing this and you're taking what you worked for so many years and you're putting it into a different type of investing, more passive, in that the companies that you're investing in your portfolio, you can't sit in the boardrooms and say, I think you should do this, or I think you should do that. So you go from every day making the decisions that makes your business successful to where you were able to sell it, to now releasing that, not really so much to the advisor as much as it is to the investment world, to what's going to happen, the global economy, this world economy, or United States economy. It's a different process. And so generally with people who sell their businesses, they have built a lifestyle that in most cases will be able to be maintained after the sale. So what we need to really do is ascertain early on, to build, the most critical thing is to have a trust relationship, and the trust has to be based on real clarity around what the expectations are. Too often in this country, what we focus on is rate of return, okay? I want this. I mean, it's absolutely positively backwards. What you really need to do is you need to understand not just your ability to take risk. In other words, to use extreme examples again, my favorite, you need $50,000 a year and you got $10 million in assets. That's a layup. That's easy, okay? You have the ability to be 100% equity. Quite frankly, also have the ability to be 100% cash. But what is your willingness to incur volatility within the portfolios that will either keep you up at night or let you sleep? What is it that you're really looking for? And that's a really challenging number to get at with everyone, because it's not a 10 question survey and you add up the score and you're 78 and it says you're a moderate, so you should have this allocation. It's just flat out wrong. That's what this industry does to kind of commoditize us, to put forth an answer that kind of takes them off the hook, because most of the business is based on not as in from a registered investment advisory, from a fiduciary level. Most of it's a selling level, so that when a product is put forth, it says, I recommend this, you accept it, that becomes your decision. But really, when we're talking about a fiduciary level, how do we ascertain exactly what level of volatility or risk you're willing to take in the portfolio? And that's where you almost can't spend enough time on it. But you have to be able to get to the point where you can see what's possible and then start to govern how much risk or volatility you place inside of a portfolio for someone.
I'm listening to this and realizing, you know, if you see this in front of you, you see that, you know, it played out, predictive, in terms of what your the pension track provides, I would assume that that would eliminate that risk percentage. You know, not that it would then be their risk.
Minimize the risk.
Well, no, it's a hard concept to get at, but I would have a higher risk level or take higher risks if I could see how it was going to be played out, you know, beforehand or had
manage the risk level.
Right.
Tom, I think before we get into that, I think there's a major disconnect here for a business owner. When you're running a business 25 for 30 years and you own it, if you're the 100% owner, you're all at risk. You're all in.
Mm-hmm.
If you sign a major contract, you have to perform. If you've got a line of credit, it's personally guaranteed. If you've got loans, if you've got whatever it is you've got, you're all at risk. But it's an entirely different kind of risk mm-hmm. than we're talking about when you make the transition from actively creating income to passively creating income.
Exactly.
Because as a business owner, you're in control. You've done this 25, 35 years. You've done it year over year over year. You understand it. You live with it. You sleep with it. You eat with it. You understand that risk. You accept it, and you embrace it.
Yeah.
And you go make your decisions, and if you're successful, you've done a good job. Now you have a liquidity event. You have this large amount of cash. You have a different asset to manage, and you're handing it off to someone to manage. It's passive. It's not active. You're not doing it. And now we're talking about a whole different type of risk assessment and a whole different tolerance assessment, in my view, that to a business owner has some fear.
Freaky.
With it. Because it's the unknown.
Yeah.
What's going to happen to that money? And I know from personal experience with the problems we had with the market in 2008, I discovered that my tolerance isn't as great as I thought it was. And I've made adjustments in my portfolio, but how do you define this new type of risk?
Yeah,
when you've made that transition from active to passive.
Well, it's an interesting process because it's not about what numbers you put on a piece of paper. It isn't. It's about an understanding of what the client is really trying to get done. You have investment portfolio risk, but then you've also got this. It's almost a psychological aspect to it to say, you know, this is changing. I have so little control over what's going to happen in China or what's going to happen in Washington. How do I convince myself? How do I get enough information to know that I'm okay? And it really is about understanding your circumstances. Too often we within the industry are commoditized, that you'd have a program that has standard inputs and standard outputs. What we really need to do is really be able to bring it down to building it from one person out, as we do with the pension track. And the pension track's goal is to give, and when we take all that information, whether business assets or if there's a liquidity event, and we put in pensions, we put in all of that data, and we can change that and show our clients visually what's possible for them, and then we start to compress the variables. You know, it's all in the assumptions. So if my objective, if I've got someone that has done a wonderful job and their business sale is clearly under even the most conservative circumstances going to provide them with security, then what I need to do is I need to compress all of the variables to say, well, what if inflation is higher? What if the tax rates go up? What if rates of return are lower? You take everything you can to crush it to get this level of confidence around it.
I mean, so you kind of model volatility, it sounds like.
Yes, that's right. You want to pull it back in to say, in taking everything as negative as is reasonable to do,
mm-hmm.
to be able to demonstrate that you're okay, that the client is okay.
Okay. So kind of taking away that feeling of lack of control.
Correct.
We're not the ones doing it.
No, we have so little control over anything. Even if we're operating our own businesses, there's a lot of people selling their businesses today that may get less for them simply because the economy is in the type of cycle where business is lower.
Mm-hmm.
So unless multiples go up, prices may come down a bit. You can't control that. So nowhere in life, even operating your business or in selling your business and now being reliant on those assets for an income stream, nothing is certain. So what we want to do is, as businessmen, now we've got a business based on the management of assets, what can we do to make certain that our assumptions are reasonable so that we can execute our business plan? Even though it's around our personal assets now, it's the same principles. You apply those same skills that made them successful over the years. It's like we look at ourselves for our clients as the CFO. Our job is to present all of the information that we have in a fashion that's understandable so that the board can make decisions that are reasonable given what assets we have and what we think is reasonable might happen.
But Tom, risk is usually associated with the return that you're shooting for. In your example, you like to use with $10 million in assets trying to create $50,000 in income. It's kind of, as you say, a layup. That's a no-brainer. I could probably do that. But if you've got $10 million in assets and I want $750,000 a year in income, you're looking for a much higher rate of return. And along with that, it's going to come a higher risk factor.
Well, here's what I would say to that, and I love that because now you're going to the other extreme. You're going from no pressure to high pressure. And our job isn't to show the client, here's all we have to do. All we have to do is get a 12% return every year. Our job is to say, you know what, that's not reasonable. You can't reasonably do that. Well, you can if you're 92 years old when you sell your business. Then, you know, live on $2 million a year because you're probably going to be... You'll be whittling it down at a pretty good rate, but so it is.
That was
interestingly
diplomatically said.
Yeah, it is a factor. How much time and what are you asking these assets to do? And we really have to say, look, it isn't often where we have to say, but on occasion we have to say to our clients, this is not a reasonable withdrawal rate. Your assets aren't structured in a fashion to give a high probability of success. It isn't to make them feel good by changing the assumptions up and saying, well, look, all you need is a 10. Okay, it just doesn't work that way. We won't work that way because that's not what our clients ask us to do. I mean, we were talking about this before we got started a little bit, is the perspective we take is if our clients knew what we knew, what decisions would they make for themselves? That's the context. It has to be. Our job is to provide that information in a fashion that's going to give them an understanding and confidence around their financial lives.
So you've got hundreds of clients, and they all have a different risk tolerance. How do you use their risk tolerance to gauge how you're going to develop the accounts, the investments?
Interesting question. What we try and do, if you think about life, if you were 47 years old and you wanted to retire at 62, you would probably say, well, I can take a fair amount of risk. I got 15 years, I'm a relatively young guy, and so I can take a little bit more risk. Well, now you're 62, and you need money at 77. It's 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
Markets don't care how old you are. Markets really just kind of say, how much time are you going to give me? And then, so when we go to a client, we're trying to say, okay, your risk tolerance, what we want to do is say, well, you need money for the first 4 years of retirement. And after that, you're going to need it for another 6 years and another 6 years. And so we try and segment the assets and give them time-specific parameters and then have it almost be an obligation-driven investment policy. If we need 15% of the assets for the first 4 years and 22% for the next six and 18 for the next six, the bulk of the remaining portion of those assets have a long-term time horizon. That ability, you know, to the 15 years or whatever that might be, close to that. And within that last portfolio, let's say there were 50% of the assets, and we know through our experience that in order to have stability to that plan, we need about 28% of the assets in the longest end of the portfolio. Well, that means we have 22% extra, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
That is going to be legacy. That is, you know, we have clients that want to take additional risk. They may want to invest in IPOs. They may want to do some private equity. They may want to have a belief around commodities. And we'll work with around that. But we want to make certain that the risk that where we're taking risk is where we can afford to take risk. And that's where it's really important to develop an investment policy that is absolutely specific to the pressure that's being placed on it by your consumption.
Tom, let's make this a little more personal. Can you give us an example of a business owner and how they make the decision and how the risk tolerance plays into the shift from active to passive?
Sure. I mean, if it could take we recently the names have been changed to protect the innocent here, but generally we had a client that had a 20-year-old business that was sold. There were two kids involved in the business, so really with the patriarch and the other two, there were three family incomes that were dependent on this business. The founder had become less active, and they understood that business well. It had been in the family for a long time, and when all was said and done, the passive part from the liquidity of the business, you know, was about 70% for each of the kids, and it was about 40% for the patriarch, but about 50% of the three families' incomes had to come from the liquidity event of the business. Well, you've got a patriarch that's in the 70s, and you got one child in the 50s and one child in the 40s, okay? And each of them have different time horizons, each of them have different risk tolerances and income needs and dependence on the sale. So in the case of the patriarch, we ended up with a policy, you know, this, I don't mean to simplify it to equities and fixed, but in general terms, let's call it, it was about 55% defensive and 45% targeted for longer term growth. And then in the case of the 50-year-old, it was more in the range of about 63% for growth and 37% defensive. So in each one of those cases, you ascertain based on the individual what is required to get it done or what's possible. You know, if more of the assets can be staged for the long term, then you can accept more risk. It really is very, very much individualized. So that's what the numbers said. And then when you sit down with each one and say, okay, you have the ability to have this much in growth, if you will, in assets that are targeted for long-term growth, but what's your willingness? How do you feel about that? And you can actually govern that back and show what the differentials are in return until you arrive at that personal risk profile. Yeah, you know, I'm okay with that. I'll leave 75 basis points of return over long term on the table to have 10% more in secure investments because I know at the end I'm still okay. You know, there it's that kind of refinement where if you were able to see it, you could actually, if you could see all the variables, you can actually make a better determination of how much your true risk tolerance is.
This really is different from being in business because I understand risk as being directly related to your rate of return. But what you're telling us with, once they have a liquidity event, risk is more related to the age and the timeline, and their tolerance is related to how much money do they need to live on and what are their legacy issues and how much risk can we accept and still reach our goals, where in your example, the patriarch, who's older, has a shorter timeline, and his risk and his tolerance are going to be different than the younger sibling, who's 47 and has a longer period of time to live and to invest and so forth, and different goals. So once you switch from actively creating money to go to passive, risk really is a different thing because it's related to the timeline and to what it is you're trying to accomplish.
It absolutely is. And I want to give an example a little tighter on that because your words brought it forward for me a little bit, is that in this one particular client's case, we had about, at a particular rate of return, let's say it was a 7.2% rate of return through this period of time, they had $26 million
mm-hmm.
at the long end, in the legacy end, because they weren't putting much pressure on the portfolio. Their lifestyle, they were frugal. They had accumulated more wealth than they would ever spend. They're not wired that way. So they could have gotten a 7.2% rate of return and had this large accumulation 25 years out because they weren't spending it.
Mm-hmm.
By adjusting their portfolio back to a more conservative, they went from 7.2% rate of return to about a 6.6% rate of return and a potential $21 million out at the long end.
Mm-hmm.
And so it became so obvious to say, well, you know, I don't need that. I don't want that. That's not my goal. But I do like the fact that I can be more conservative, if you will, in my investing, because that's not my objective. I'm not trying to do, I want to be able to sleep at night, and 6.6 gives me more peace of mind. And that's really what we're trying to get to, is that refinement of just the reduction in 60 basis points of return was a fairly substantial adjustment in the portfolios that gave them peace.
So, I was going to ask, have you ever had someone come in who, business owner, has the ability to sell their company and probably has 30 years left on their life, or that's anticipated, and just you have to tell them that's too high a risk, you only have 15 years before you'd be out of money? I mean, do you have that happen?
Do you know, yes, we do, but it's interesting, you know, if I step back, you know, in America, it's like if there's a large group of Americans that underaccumulate,
mm-hmm.
and there's a small group of Americans that overaccumulate, and very few get it right going along. You know, mm-hmm. it's like two extremes. You know, on occasion, someone will come in and I'll look at their lives and I'll say, "Congratulations, it's absolutely fantastic. You have intuitively lived life financially appropriately, and you're not going to end up with a bazillion dollars, and you're not going to be broke." But it's the exception to the rule. Those that have a lot because they tend to be wise about the decisions they make, or frugal, maybe not spending enough as they go along. So on occasion, we will have to have somebody that has a tremendous amount of financial success that we have to say, you just are simply going to run out of money.
Mm-hmm.
We've actually, there's cases where we made the decision as we're speaking with this client, if they won't listen to what we say, we're going to have to terminate the relationship,
mm-hmm.
because we're not here to collect fees and watch them run out of money in 6 years. That's not the point. We are fiduciaries for them, and our job is to give them information, and if they won't listen to what we're saying, then we can't be in an honest relationship, and we literally have to terminate it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the approach we have to take with it. You know, we are our clients in this, you know, and it's not the, there's no sales going on here. This is simply, what would they do if they knew what we knew?
Mm-hmm. Well, and I have just one more example. What if it was someone who has built their business, throughout their 40 or 50 years in business, they've acquired, they've grown through acquisition. So the high risk, constant growth, constant integration, they come to you. Have you found that they tend to carry that same activity, that same mentality into their, you know, the transition to their passive portfolio or passive investment?
That active risk and carry it into the passive risk?
Yeah.
The cowboy.
Yeah, exactly.
We actually call them cowboys. You know,
okay.
They'll even go, oh my God, that was a cowboy. So, and sometimes, but again, it's if you give them enough information, then they'll make a decision. Intelligent people make intelligent decisions when they have enough information to do so.
Okay.
And our job is to provide them with enough information to do that.
So it's really a question of, here's your assets, here's your existing lifestyle, and that's going to produce this kind of risk, and it's a question of how much risk to take. And occasionally, I imagine those people, business owners, tend to learn quickly,
mm-hmm.
and they may have to make a decision to alter their lifestyle once they go from active to passive to match the assets so that they can make a reasonable decision on how much risk to take. Isn't that what it comes down to?
It does. And there's so many variables to that. Again, as I would say, that more than likely, many times, the business owner's assets will support their lifestyle retirements. They just have to have enough information to do so. You can have, the variability comes in is that you can't say, okay, I need $100,000 a year for my portfolio. You sold your business. You've got 3 years of a earnout that can provide you with enough money so you won't have to touch your assets. Then 3 years from then, you're going to get Social Security is going to kick in, and a teacher's pension that your wife had or your spouse had, and so you've got all these variable aspects to the portfolios. It says, you know, there's less pressure on the assets in the next 5 years because of these other events, which allows more of the assets to be longer term, which theoretically allows you to be a little bit more aggressive if that's what you choose to do.
So there's really two sides of this. When you were talking about the 47-year-old that wanted to retire at 62, and they come to you and say, I'm creating this much income per year. If I put this much away till I'm 62, then can you break, and I want to take Social Security at 62, and I don't want to start taking out my investment accounts till I'm 70, you can really plug that in and break their life down into very segments, short segments, and take into account how they're going to spend at the same time that you're taking into account how much they save between now and the time of your retirement. You retire, and what you're saying is the more information you can have and the more detailed it can be, you can take the unknown out of the picture, and they've got a good idea of what to expect as those years pass by.
Yes, I think, you know, if there's one thing that's fairly absolute in our industry, is that the markets cycle. And the typical market cycle tends to be 3.2 to 4.4 years. So when you think about staging your assets, you should do it relative to that market cycle. And then it gives you it means that you will be more conservative in the near term, and then take your risk over the long term. But I think, you know, really what it comes down to is that, you know, risk is a much misunderstood concept in our financial lives. You know, most of the folks that I know have started, bought, or run their business have done so with great risk, but they don't see it that way because they control those factors. They were in control of their own destiny. The job of a financial advisor is really to allow our clients to continue to use those skills honed over years of effort by allowing them to see with clarity what's possible and how much risk is really required to get the job done after the sale.
So you're really educating these business owners on what's the next step. When I switch from active to passive, show me what that means. Show me how to teach me how to understand it so that I get comfortable. Isn't that really what it is?
We're the CFO. They're still the CEO.
And back to school.
There you go.
Well, Tom, this has been a very interesting discussion of risk and investments and what tolerance really means. And I think you've opened my eyes to the difference between how I've actively managed my risk in my life and my business and the transition that I'll have to make. And hopefully it'll help our listeners understand that they've got some things to learn. And the more they can learn and understand, the better off they're going to be.
I agree.
Well, I'm Tom Lyons, and for my co-host Sam Zordich and our producer Jorgie Jorgensen, I'd like to thank Tom Fee from Vector Wealth Management for being with us today on this segment of TodaysBusinessRadio.com.
You've been listening to Today's Business Radio with host Tom Lyons. Tom is the owner of Phelan Partners Limited, an M&A advisory and consulting firm. Today's Business Radio is also available around the clock and around the world at TodaysBusinessRadio.com. That's TodaysBusinessRadio.com. All content provided by Today's Business Radio is provided for general information only and should not be treated as a substitute for professional advice from your legal, accounting, and business advisors. Today's Business Radio is not liable for the contents of this podcast, nor does it endorse any commercial product or service mentioned or advised in this podcast. All radio shows, podcasts, and other content provided by Today's Business Radio is copyrighted and may not be reproduced or downloaded for any reason without prior written consent by Today's Business Radio. If you have a topic you'd like covered at Today's Business Radio, log on to our website at todaysbusinessradio.com and submit your comments and questions. Thanks for listening to todaysbusinessradio.com.